In this episode, I talked to Giovanna Leon. She's a Venezuelan photographer based in Switzerland, and I asked her to come on this podcast because, for one, she's become a good friend of mine over the years, but also she's one of the more experienced 20-somethings I know. In this episode, Giovanna tells her story of what it's like to be kicked out of Switzerland, falling into depression as a result, and giving her all to be able to stay in a country that didn't want her. We talk about therapy and different ways to cope, how we distract ourselves through eating, phone and social media addiction or porn, and what strategies we use to manage emotions in a better way. We won't go too deep on these subjects, so if any of this is triggering for you, be careful, but I think you're gonna be fine. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Future Path.
Hello. Hello there. So my name is Giovanna Leon. Now it's Schnabel because I got married and I changed, but both names are still valid. So I have both names. I prefer Giovanna Leon. It's an Italian name, but I'm not Italian. I'm from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends just call me Gio. So we can go by that.
How old are you?
I'm 28. Yes, I just turned 28. Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel?
Getting closer to my 30s is definitely scary. Like, it feels a bit scary. But yeah, there are also like things that are really good about it. Like, I feel the difference between being in my early 20s mm-hmm. and now that I'm in my later 20s. In some aspects, I feel just so much more comfortable.
Like how?
With myself, I feel more confident in some aspects. Like, I feel just more confident on my skills and me as a person. Mm-hmm. And I guess I don't put so much attention to my image as I used to do when I was younger. I guess a lot of women go through that also, like being a teenager and like in your early 20s, like there's so much pressure on like beauty standards and this kind of stuff. So I feel that gets better as you get older. Like, you just don't put so much emphasis on that.
When did it change though?
I feel like it's like recently changing, like 27 until now, it has been different. There still exists like pressure, but it's just like you tone it down a bit. Like, you don't care, like you just care more about other things. Like, you just care more about who people are and who you are and what's on the inside and a bit less on just image and looks.
Yeah,
I would say.
That's the thing I'm still struggling with a lot. Like, I feel like I depend too much on other people's opinions, even friends,
yes.
You know?
But I think that's normal. And it's a thing that you just gotta accept, especially when you're younger. And I feel like it's just a human thing. Mm. It's not like you completely stop caring. It's just like other things are more important than that. Mm. As you age, I guess. And I mean, I guess for people in their 30s, 40s, 50s is like
yeah.
Totally different.
I mean, you're not really a controversial person, I would say, right? But like, do you still get criticisms sometimes for anything?
I feel like I do. And I did more when I was younger, like in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. Just because you're like more reckless. And also as you age, you kind of learn to protect yourself a bit more and then to not be so open with everything, with your opinions, with like, what you do in society. You just are a bit more careful. And perhaps that's how you end up not being controversial, because you don't expose yourself as much. Mm. I feel like the more you expose yourself, like the more people will have opinions, right?
So for you, it's less about growing a thicker skin in the sense of not being so attackable, mm-hmm. or like for you it's more about being less open. Did you change that about yourself?
Yes, yeah, definitely. Okay. I think so. Like, I don't know if like growing a like thicker skin would be a thing for me, or is it a thing for people in general? I don't know.
I try to do it because For me, I want to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
I want to open up. I want to show the real me,
mm-hmm.
so people can relate.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I know that automatically will come with criticism. I already received it. So I feel like for me, the strategy is actually growing more of a thicker skin towards criticism.
Mm-hmm. I think criticism is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Criticism is fine. What kind of criticism is it?
Yeah.
Is it constructive? Like, I think you need to learn to figure out where does it come from? Like, from which place? And sometimes it's hard to be completely objective, like realizing, okay, does it come from a place of jealousy or a bad place in general? Or does it come from constructive criticism? You need to figure out where does it come from and then learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I feel like when it's negative, when it comes from a negative place, it's still hard not to internalize it. Like you have to reassure yourself, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that not everyone can do. And if you cannot do it, you need to learn to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because in the end, like the person who will be able to validate you the most is yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can always run to my friends, but I also kind of want to learn to deal with it on my own. Right.
I think it's both great.
Yeah.
Like it's great like to have a support network, like your friends. If you have really good friends that can help you with that, it's great to depend on that.
Mm-hmm.
But also learn to do it on your own. Like you can do both. I don't think one is more valid than the other. It's just like you need to integrate both.
Mm-hmm. But how? Like
I think it all comes to self-talk, you know? And self-talk, it's really hard to master.
What is self-talk for you?
Like, you know, becoming aware of your internal dialogue, the things that you say to yourself daily.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a lot of the things that you think are unconscious. They're just like the program, you know, the program is running.
Always running.
It's always running.
Yeah.
And you're not always aware of it. You're not always aware of what you're telling yourself, like what your ideas and conceptions about the world. So becoming aware of it is fundamental. That's the only way that you can spot the bugs, right?
Mm.
And somehow not to change them, but to substitute them for something like perhaps more positive or that helps you to achieve or to be or to feel the way that you aim to feel, right?
Yeah. So sometimes you might feel like, oh, I got triggered from something.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to figure out, is this a valid trigger? Like, is it valid for me to feel that way or am I overreacting? And then, yeah. Why are you laughing?
That's a tricky question. Is it valid? I think all emotions are valid, right? But what you do with them, that's what perhaps it's valid or not valid, like how you act on your emotions, right? And I think that's where you have to be more attuned. Like you have to be more careful. Okay, what do I do with this emotion? And, you know, to master that level of self-control over your emotion, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it's something that you have to practice daily. Like, okay, what do I do with emotions? How do I react? Perhaps in the moment, it's difficult to control. But if you have the opportunity to take space from your emotions and like think about a certain situation and then think about how you're going to react, I think it's always valid first to get help.
Mm.
And talk with friends and or family or a partner. But also take time to check in with yourself. Like, what is important for you? What do you need?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I recently published a reel. I was just citing a quote I heard in one of my favorite podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from an artist. She was saying, you need to like reconnect with yourself and with your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Because we tend to, if we feel the slightest bit of uncomfortable, turn to our phones or, you know, other ways to cope, other distractions.
So, I do that a lot.
Yeah. What do you, like, how do you cope?
When something is triggering in the moment and there's no way that I can get out of that situation, phone.
Mm-hmm. Which app?
I think it doesn't matter as long as I can do something and distract myself. Mm-hmm. But that's when something is like extremely uncomfortable and like it's a situation you cannot get out from, right? But whenever I do have the time and space to process, I try to journal, mm-hmm. like to write about it or to talk about it. Or, yeah, sometimes I do this thing whenever I have an issue and it's obviously not socially acceptable to express a lot of anger towards someone, right? Mm. When you have an argument or a disagreement.
Yeah.
But what do you do with that anger? What do you do with that disappointment?
And put it into nature.
I think I found something that I love to do is just like writing letters to those people and then like getting rid of them.
I love that. Damn. Good.
it's a great way. Like, you know, and really like it's the best way to put everything out there that you wish you could say, but obviously it's not acceptable. So like you have to do something with those feelings.
Yeah.
Other people just turn it into art or music or photos. In my case, like I don't do it that way. I just write down
mm-hmm.
and then perhaps burn. Well, burn is a bit dramatic. I've only done that twice mm-hmm. with people that I truly hated.
Yeah.
But when it comes to everyday life situations, like just break them into pieces and trash them. And
good. Like how often do you do it?
I mean, if it's, I guess this is like bigger issues, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think last time I did it was like 2 weeks ago, but before that probably I went like 5-6 months without doing it. But I mean, it's a tool.
Yeah,
use it as much as you need, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Damn, how do I cope?
How do you cope?
I cope in pretty unhealthy ways, mm-hmm. I guess. So there are like healthy ways and unhealthy ways to cope.
We all do.
Yeah, right. Like we have the, what's it called in English? Like if you eat like a lot of sweets or...
I do that.
Right.
I do that. Okay. Definitely.
Yeah. For me, I would say it's more like something that's common for guys, you know, like porn, mm-hmm. this sort of stuff. For me, that's a way I cope. Mm-hmm. But I don't like to do that.
It's a difficult topic. I don't completely disagree with porn.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you need to be conscious of like what you consume, right? Like what kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky topic. I would say, yeah, just be conscious of it. But I think when you completely forbid...
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we see it in society. We see it like so often when you repress a lot of emotions, they come out in a way or another.
Yeah.
So I don't think of like completely repressing those things, it's like healthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I mean, I've tried to repress it, right? And mm-hmm. yeah, I would say the times where I've been the best mentally was when I had a healthy relationship with it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my person who used to be a friend,
mm-hmm.
he said, if you're addicted to something and if you want to get rid of it, you need to replace it with something else.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Have you been able to replace it with something or have you been successful at it?
I'm not sure what to replace it with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been successful with reducing, but, and I have some other ways to cope, you mm-hmm. know, like going out, riding my skateboard,
mm-hmm.
calling friends, listening to music, this sort mm-hmm. of stuff. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Like there are just, of course you always want to choose these more healthy ways to mm-hmm. cope. yeah, I don't know yet where the balance is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For others, they do alcohol, cannabis,
mm-hmm.
drugs, eating.
Mm-hmm. Phone. Yeah.
Phone.
Phone is a big thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like everyone nowadays is addicted to their phones. Like I'm addicted, totally. Yeah. I struggle so much with it.
Yeah.
Like to put like my phone hours, screen hours down.
How much is it?
I don't know right now. I haven't checked. But I remember at some point it was like 6 hours a day. That's completely unreasonable. Yeah. Like what are you doing with your life that you're using your phone mm-hmm. 6 hours a day, you know?
For me, it was like 8.5 hours mm-hmm. average. But I was editing reels as well.
Okay, then.
But still.
But you still get distracted. I think that's a difficult thing to manage.
Yeah.
With the phone. Because you have tools. And you have great tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you constantly get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And like social media and all these platforms are engineered in a way that you become addicted to them. So it's really hard to control.
Yeah, and I mean, as a freelancer or like as a business person in general, mm-hmm. social media is also work for us.
Yeah, you need it.
And we need to find a way to use it or work with it without getting sucked into the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any ideas on how to do it?
I'm not the best to give advice on this. And I still struggle so much with it. People who work on social media or like have social media as a tool for their businesses, they say like you shouldn't consume, like you shouldn't be using social media as a consumer,
mm-hmm.
but as a creator.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the analogy of if you sell drugs, you don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't touch the drug because you know how bad it is, right?
Yeah.
Or how bad it can be.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that it's bad, but how often do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
How often do you use it? And I think that's the tricky part, like getting yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Like controlling and managing your environment in a way that it doesn't suck you in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens a lot with social media. And I don't really have an answer to that question right now,
mm-hmm.
but what I've heard out there is that they say like, yeah, you should use it as your tool.
Yeah.
Not as a consumer.
Yeah. I wonder, like you said, we produce for social media, but then also we shouldn't use it too much. So, you know, I love content. Like mm-hmm. it makes me laugh. It makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. But then also it's kind of a bad thing because it makes us depressed if we use it too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, how do we deal with this dilemma of we love it, we produce it, but then we also know we shouldn't consume too much?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it kind of seems like it's a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And we're just part of this cycle. That's what older people would say, or
I think parents. It all narrows down to self-control, to mastering yourself. I think there's no solution out there. Because if something is good and you enjoy something, you will want to use it and
mm-hmm.
abuse it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say it all depends on you, but a lot of it depends on you.
Yeah.
Like environment, of course, like if you know about psychology and you have read or listened to podcasts about it, like your environment really affects how you behave and what you do, right?
Mm.
So you do want to set up your environment like to do the things that you want to do.
Like also on social media, the people you follow and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, in a way, but also like optimize the environment to not use the phone, right? If you want to decrease your usage of social media, then you have to find ways. And finding ways of not like abusing it, it's tricky. Like you just have to try and you have to see what works for you because what works for other people doesn't necessarily work for you. I have a friend She's actually now my business coach.
Nice. Cool. Shout out to her.
And Maya is crazy. She's a crazy girl. We met when I lived in Paris. We're both from Venezuela, and we met through her cousin. Mm-hmm. And now she's a graphic designer, but she became also a business coach. And what she did to develop a better relationship with social media was basically like stop using it for a year. She went to travel to India for a whole year, and she had no phone, no anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know the details on it, but I think she was like meditating all the time, and like she went like full monk mode. And now she feels like she has a better relationship with it, and she runs her whole business on social media.
Wow.
I guess most of her clients come from there.
Yeah.
So this is like a pretty extreme example, but I'm at this point where I feel like I need to do exactly the same in order to heal this relationship, because it's really hard to manage. It's hard to keep it balanced.
Yeah, balance is always the key, right?
And it's the most difficult thing. Mm-hmm. How is it for you? Like, do you think you have it under control? Do you have it balanced? Or do you still struggle with it?
Sometimes I have it balanced, but I still struggle with it.
I guess it comes to seasons, right?
Yeah, it's always how stable are you emotionally?
Exactly.
And then,
yeah,
depending on that.
Yeah. I have this relationship, like, not only with my phone, like, actually, I don't do drugs at all and I don't drink alcohol. I'm not against drugs, but it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. Same.
Like, I don't.
We don't need it in our lives. In that sense.
I think I cope in other ways. Yeah. And my way of coping is food.
Yeah.
Sweets.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's actually as dangerous. It's actually the same as drugs, more or less.
How does that work? Like,
it doesn't.
Why? Why does it not work?
I mean, it goes again to self-control. Like, self-control.
So like...
And discipline, self-discipline.
So like you would feel bad about something and then you would do what?
Probably, eat. Enjoy food because it's what gives me the most pleasure, right? Yeah.
Is it also the cooking aspect of it?
I mean, I like cooking, but no, eating. Eating. Oh, yeah, and I've had periods of my life where I'm like either really stressed or depressed.
Yeah.
And my way of coping has been through food.
So with food, the problems that come with it are not immediate, right? You just get out of shape.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I've healed a lot of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I try to not adopt this mindset of like prohibiting myself to eat something that I enjoy, because I think in the end that only feeds the pattern and the loop. Like, that's not healthy. That's not going to help you. So I just try to, when I find myself in this situation, I try to be as compassionate as possible. It doesn't always work. It doesn't always work, to be honest. Like, sometimes you can try it. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But whenever I am compassionate towards myself, I figure out that that's what works best and actually takes me out of this self-hatred loop.
Yeah. I love that, because that's also what I found with my bad coping mechanisms. Whenever I was about to indulge, like acceptance, like not beating yourself up. It's more like being, hey, it's okay, you know, you don't feel that well, it's fine, like don't worry, right? It's gonna be better.
I think that's the best way to go.
Yeah,
there are a lot of videos and information about reparenting yourself, right? Talking to yourself, imagining that you're like your own paternal or maternal figure, and giving yourself that like grace, that compassion to make mistakes and to get out of that. Like, okay, right now is not great. I don't feel great about this. I feel shitty about this. But it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I can manage. It's okay to feel like this. And perhaps tomorrow is another opportunity, you know, to do it differently.
Where did you learn all of this stuff? How do you know?
Life. Yeah. Life, you know, I guess, I mean, social, like media, yeah. Right?
But that's, you also went to therapy.
Yeah, I go to therapy. Mm-hmm. I've been to therapy since maybe 5 years now. I think I started when I was 23. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like kind of in and out. I had different therapists. And I recently came back to my favorite therapist so far. I think I had three, but the first one was the best match. And I came back to her.
Why did you switch in the first place?
She kicked me out.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a top. It's a hot topic.
Like what?
The thing
in
is
that
like
situation or
she's a psychiatrist, right? But she is against prescribing medication because she's also a psychoanalyst.
Okay.
And in psychoanalysis, everything that alters mind states is not good. Because then you're not able to access the subconscious mind, which is what you want to work with, right? So I had this really, really horrible depression. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? Three and a half years ago. And my parents couldn't handle me. My family didn't know what to do with me. Like, I was literally so depressed that I couldn't stand. Like, I couldn't go out of my bed, right? Mm. So it was a breaking point. And it was like, okay, either I take medication to get out of this. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't afford to just stay in bed for as much as I needed to recover, right?
Yeah. Because you had to go to school at
that
time.
I had to go to school. I had to be, which is the case for most people. Like, you just have to be a functional human being. And you cannot afford to do nothing for months and try to recover, right? So that's when I think antidepressants and medication like really helps, and perhaps it doesn't help because it doesn't let you address the issue. And that's when she kicked me out because I got the antidepressants from other therapists and she didn't agree with it.
Yeah,
she wanted to work through the issue on talking therapy,
but then she couldn't due to the medication.
No. She'd, I guess it's like it's a thing in psychoanalysis. Okay. They don't like to work with medication because it alters your state of mind. And it doesn't allow you to access those deep emotions that are causing the symptoms. So in reality, what an antidepressant does is that it suppresses, like it blocks emotions. It doesn't allow you to feel. But that goes both ways. Like really positive emotions and the bad.
Yeah.
And at the end,
you're going to be always like medium.
Yeah. In the end, you kind of always feel flat. That's the best way that I can describe it. Mm-hmm. I'm off medication now. And it's really helpful when you're going through a bad time. But eventually, when you start to recover and start feeling better, then you cannot also feel joy and like positive things. Like it blocks emotions. Like you literally feel flat. So I guess it's not for everyone, or you have to evaluate what's best for you. And now I'm off the medication and I decided to come back with this therapist because the therapy with her was the best.
Yeah.
Like, in order through therapy to be like successful, you really need to have like a good relationship with your therapist. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And with her, like emotionally,
it's a vibe.
It was a vibe. Yeah. It was my first therapist ever, and it was a vibe right away.
Yeah.
That's difficult to find.
Yeah.
And that's why I came back to her. Although she kicked me out, and that was not very professional, I guess, but
I guess therapists are still humans.
Yeah, she was really angry.
Yeah. Damn. She just kicked you out, although you were not in a good state.
Yeah, it was probably the worst period of my life. Yeah. Actually, I got into this depression because I was kicked out of Switzerland.
How did you come back? How did you get back in?
Like, I mean, I received a letter to, yeah, like, being deported.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a very emotional topic, so I apologize if I cry.
Don't worry, you can cry.
It's still really difficult to talk about it. Although it was almost four years ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't get kicked out thanks to a lawyer. He handles humanitarian cases. Because my family lives in Switzerland, right? My parents live here and we have been together since 8 or 9 years, mm, since we moved to Switzerland, right? And when we left Venezuela, it was because of political reasons. Like, we didn't really want to leave and migrate and start a new life abroad.
You still love the place, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. It's a love-hate relationship, but that's such a big topic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was living with my parents and studying, but the only way for me to have a residence permit, since I was not underage anymore, I was like over 18.
Mm-hmm.
The only way of staying in Switzerland, coming from a third world country or like a third state, how they call it.
Okay.
So anything that's not Europe or European Union, was to study. And then I finished my studies, my bachelor's. And I didn't know about this, but you're technically not allowed to do a second bachelor's in a different field.
Yeah.
Although at first glance, it didn't seem such a different field. I studied design and then I wanted to study media science in the university. And then I was not allowed to do that. And the canton where I lived in, Basel-Land, is really strict about this migration rules.
So what did you do about it?
I received a letter. I freaked out. I was already enrolled at the university. I was like, it was after my first week of class.
Wow.
I was already there, like attending and still waiting for the answer if I was allowed to stay or not, like for my permit.
Yeah.
And then a week in, I received a letter like, you have to leave in 2 weeks.
Damn. Yeah.
It was horrible. And
what did you do?
I had to cry for help to everyone in my network. Okay, like, what can I do? And then one of my teachers in the bachelor's, he put me in contact with this lawyer that takes care of humanitarian cases, since I cannot go back to Venezuela because there's a humanitarian crisis, political crisis, and I don't have any family left there.
Mm.
It was not an option for me to go back. So he helped me find a way to stay. There were like several routes that I could take. One was asylum. But the status with Venezuela in Switzerland is really tricky. Like, Switzerland doesn't recognize the crisis in Venezuela as something relevant.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for them to grant you asylum.
Yeah.
As a Venezuelan citizen. Then he was like, okay, you can go that route. It's going to take around 4 years. You will have to fight a lot and you cannot leave the country. So it's going to be pretty tough. And then at the end, they probably are going to deny you.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of pain for probably nothing. Then you can get married.
Yeah.
Or you can go and start other studies that seem like a natural progression.
Mm-hmm.
So a master's in design, basically.
That's what you did then, right?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Oh, and it was so tough. Because I didn't want to do it. But it was basically the only way to stay.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it was so hard to go through the masters and, you know, do all these things that you have to do. You have to go out in the world and perform and do the best on the circumstances that you have. But something inside me was always like rebelling against everything, against the masters.
Yeah.
So in the end, I was like really hurting myself
because, you know, I couldn't do anything about the situation. Like, I couldn't change it because it's something external, right? So I feel like I turned all this anger towards myself, because at the time it felt like it was the only thing that I could do.
Yeah.
And now I see that was so unhealthy. And like, perhaps there were other ways, like other things that I could have done. But you can only see that when you have certain distance from your feelings and from the situation. Now I got married, so I can stay and I have no issues with that, but it's still so traumatic. It's still like, besides leaving the country, my country, when I left, there was a lot of political turmoil. That was really traumatic. But the second biggest trauma of my life was this situation. And I still feel like I haven't completely recovered from that.
You know, it sounds funny, right? You did a master's that you didn't want to do.
It's actually, you know, it's...
I mean, you had to do it.
But when you look at it from the outside, it's probably like the best situation that you can be in as an immigrant. Because you're getting higher education. Right? It's actually not... It's really privileged.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely... And in Switzerland.
Yeah. And at a really amazing campus.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
But still, it was decided for you, and that's why you rebelled.
I think this is the problem. When circumstances oblige you to act in a way and you feel forced to do things, you have no autonomy. And that's one of our biggest desires and needs as humans, right? To a certain extent, because, yeah, you have society, you have a lot of constraints, like you still live in a box, right?
Yeah, but we want to decide by ourselves what we do inside of this box somehow.
Exactly. And this was pretty tough, because I basically, since I migrated to Switzerland, I felt like that, like in a box, in a really small box.
What I'm thinking now also, that this was a time you were around 24. You're separating from your parents. You're trying to become an independent person, right? Making your own decisions. But then this happens in a time when you want to make your own decisions, but then someone else comes, right? The state comes and tells you what to do.
And I think, unfortunately, to a certain level, it will always be the case, like for everyone. It's not something that you can get rid of, right? I feel like, yeah, my situation was unfortunate and it was bad, right? It's really shitty to have to do something that you don't want to do just because it's the only option that you have. But I think it's like a good lesson for life, because probably it's not going to be the only time that I have to deal with something like this. But I just hope it's not as bad. And I just hope now I have the skills to deal better with it. But I think to a certain extent, nobody is safe from this, right?
Did you see yourself as a victim in that time?
I did. And I think I was. It's... It's really hard to gain your power back and tell yourself, like, you're not a victim. You don't have to be a victim for the rest of your life, right? And I'm not anymore. But, you know, to get in that mindset and to remind yourself that you do have power over your life, that's, like, really tough. Really, really tough. And it's a job that I now have to do every day, you know? To tell myself, you know, I do have power to overcome my past and to overcome, like, all the shitty situations that I went through and to make the best out of them. You know, I do have the power to get what I want to get in life. But it's hard. It's hard work. And it's not linear. sometimes I do feel hopeless. And yeah, like I have no power over my circumstances. But yeah, I just like work really hard to remind myself that I do.
You do. Yeah. And I think it's the best way for us to take our lives into our own hands. Because even if we are victims, should we focus on the fact that we're victims and like say that, oh, we can't do anything about it? Like, oh, we're just victims. Like, man, you know, you even if you're a victim, you need to fight. You need to fight even harder.
I think if you are a victim forever, you're giving up on life, you know. And not everyone has the resources to get out of this mindset. I get it. It's really hard. And if you're like fighting to survive and yeah, you don't have the time and resources to get in a better state, mental state.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
Not everyone can do that. And it's understandable. But at some point, it's also your responsibility to try to get better and make something good out of whatever mm-hmm. you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's in the end your responsibility. You're responsible for yourself.
Like even if you can't get therapy, I can't tell you what you should do in this situation, right? If you don't have the resources to get therapy, but like, I'm wondering what you could do, but you really need to take your life into your own hands.
I think community.
Community.
Community is people. Like the best way to heal. Like talking to people that have been through things that you have been through or just getting support, like emotional support. I think it's like really life-changing.
Yeah.
If you're able to get this or not. Like if you have a strong community, like a lot of friends, people that love you, that changes things enormously.
Mm-hmm.
Like now that I see, you know, I have my parents with me. I have my family. I have my sister. Now I have a husband. And I really had like loving friends that helped me get through that. I don't think I would have been able to get better and feel better. Like, I'm not gonna say overcome it because I haven't overcome it yet. Like, it's still horrible to talk about it and to remember it. But I don't think therapy itself could have helped me. Community, it's my answer.
How do you attract those people?
I think I got sort of good at putting myself out there and getting rejected a lot.
Mm.
Especially, you know, like being a foreigner in Switzerland. Like, I think I told you this before, but Swiss people, unconsciously or consciously, I don't know what's the...
We don't know what's the problem.
The thought process in there. But Swiss society makes it really clear, like, we don't want you here. You're not welcome. And if you want to be here, you have to fucking work hard.
Yeah, you have to prove yourself.
You have to prove yourself. And if you want to talk to us and be around us, you have to be the one who goes and takes the first step and makes all the effort constantly for years. And that's horrible. It's really horrible because, you know, normally when you don't get some sort of positive feedback, you retract and you say, oh, maybe they don't like me.
Hmm.
And then when you talk openly about it, they just tell you, no, I mean, that's just how we are. You just have to try hard enough. Like, you just have to try and keep trying, even if you're rejected every day.
Damn. Yeah.
So I guess I just got used to it. And that has been the way for me to, you know, to make friends.
You now have this skill, you know. It's a great skill.
It still hurts.
Persistence, perseverance, you know.
But it still hurts, you know. Like, you think that, like, as you said, like, growing a thicker skin, you don't. It's still horrible to feel rejected. It's mm-hmm. still horrible to feel like I have to put all this work mm-hmm. to receive not much in return. just to feel like I'm sort of part of this society.
Something comes to mind. Or what did you want to say?
No, I forgot about it.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right? And I heard something recently, a guy on a podcast said, it's not true. What doesn't kill you makes you weaker.
Could be, yeah.
Could be, like.
Could well be, yeah. If you don't have the resources to integrate it and to learn from it.
Yeah, Swiss society. I'm a Swiss. I'm also German, but I'm still not fully accepted in Switzerland because I don't speak Swiss German.
That's a big thing.
Yeah, it's a big thing. But I don't care. But still, I mean, I care. All right. Yeah, I care.
You do care.
Of course, I care, right? But I'm not, I just don't feel like speaking Swiss German. So that's how it's going to be for now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in 10 years or 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big thing. And, you know, I mean, you know, guys, I love Switzerland, right?
love Switzerland.
We love Switzerland. It has a lot of positive things. But I think socially, it's the most challenging country that probably you'll ever visit. And I think the challenge mostly comes from languages. And even, like, I know people that were born here and raised here and speak Swiss German, but perhaps they have parents who are immigrants and they still don't feel as they belong to Swiss society. And I think eventually this is something that the country and the government will have to work on, because it's really dangerous for a society to have people that don't identify or fully identify with the place, with the costumes, with the language. It's really hard. And you have that also because of languages, right? You speak, like, we speak four languages in this country. There are four official languages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the divide goes into that.
So I guess instead of pushing new people away, we should try to integrate them more or be more accepting in the differences.
I think circumstances are gonna force Swiss people to do this more and more.
Yeah,
because you see it with, like, with the birth rates declining, and I think eventually the Swiss government will have to lower or, like, release a bit of the policies, mm-hmm. the migration policies. Mm-hmm. And eventually this, I mean, if people are not integrated, this is going to bring a lot of problems. And you already see it. Mm-hmm. But it can get much worse. So at some point it will have to happen. And people will need to learn to be a bit more open and more tolerant to differences.
I guess you're right. Because when I hear about this from others who are struggling to be integrated or who don't feel welcome here in Switzerland, for me, I feel somehow welcome and it's easy, right? I have my social circle and everything. And so I'm more on the camp like, oh, yeah, you just got to work harder, you know? You got to earn it to stay in Switzerland. But I'm realizing it's harder than I think it is.
It is way harder. And it can be way harder for so many people. And at the end, it, you know, this is tough. This is really blunt. And I'm going to say it really bluntly.
Yeah.
It comes down to, where were you born? What's your passport, right? Where do you come from? What's your skin color?
Mm-hmm.
And how wealthy are you? Or what are you giving us in exchange, right? It has to be something that the Swiss people need.
Yeah.
So labor, for example, either highly skilled labor or...
Just the labor that's needed.
Yeah, labor that it's needed and that they lack, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For example, nurses or, like, factory workers,
mm-hmm.
you name it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you need to bring value to the country in a way or another. That's basically what you need. It's really hard. I mean, it sucks in a way, in many ways. But I understand that this is what the country is built on, you know. It wouldn't be such a good place to live, perhaps, if it wasn't this strict.
Yeah. For me, from the inside, it's kind of a heaven. And I understand the strict migration politics.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it. And I think it's something that all Swiss people want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, makes sense. and still it's hard for new people. Because I wish, you know, so many other people could have the chance to be here, to have this wealth of opportunities. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard.
It's hard, and it's much harder when you're not able to control and provide what people need in order to adapt to a new country, like to make the transition as smooth as possible. And honestly, Switzerland is not like really good at it.
Yeah, definitely.
But in other ways, it is, you know.
Switzerland is not the most progressive country at all.
No.
All right, we only have 5 minutes left. Okay, what's your message for people trying to make it in Switzerland?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if telling them to keep trying and trying and trying hard, as I did, is the best advice. I would say you feel it's not the place for you, leave. Like, I wish I would have been more open about this earlier. But yeah, now my life would have been completely different, right? Perhaps I wouldn't even be married with Joe. Yeah. But I wish I would have understood that it's not the only place where you can have a good life, right? Like, you can build a beautiful, fulfilling life in other places in the world. If you really feel it's not your place, leave. But if you're willing to accept and go through this constant rejection, then be prepared for it. And yeah,
I see.
Do it.
Yeah, that makes sense, because in the time of the internet, you can build a business anywhere.
So. Yeah, that's the advantage of social media nowadays. That also you can find like-minded people, like Swiss people or other foreigners. It's so easy to connect. It's easier than ever. So yeah, use those tools. Go to networking events, put yourself out there, reach out to people, like just send random messages on Instagram to people that you find cool, even if you don't know them. Take the chance.
I love that. Thank you so much for this conversation. You are so strong.
Am I?
Yeah. You're so strong and mature, but in a way that I feel you're still super young and flexible.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, you know, I love it. You're good. Yeah. You're good.
Yeah. You're doing great, sweetheart. Thank you for having me, and thank you for, yeah, have like giving me the opportunity to talk about this topic. Yeah,
thank you. Bye bye.